I mean, it's definitely such a blessing, you know, being the first team's pick. You know, they have, you know, that trust in me to go out there and lead. And that's all I'm trying to do, you know, just trying to be open to my teammates, you know, kick it with them. Because all in all, like, the communication is key to our success. So, you know, coming in here, getting into it with the guys, that's most important. No, I can play anywhere, you know, and it's first day of practice. I don't know where I'm going to play in September and on in. So really just kind of coming in here, taking it day by day and doing whatever I'm asked to. I mean, I'm just a powerful guy. You know, I'm quick off the ball. So, you know, the guards are, you know, more of the post players, and they got to get the double team started. So that's just kind of what I pride myself on, getting it started. So, you know, the center and the left tackle can come in and clean up. So really just focusing on that power and the speed off the ball.
Dolphins first round pick, Caden Proctor, had to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale, one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Joe.
All right, Woody. Yeah, we've got Friday and Saturday. Rookie mini camp is done. Finn's trying to find the best 90 for camp and tryouts and rookie free agents that got a little bit more money than other guys, the draft picks, everybody all together. And Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, who is out there, joins us this morning. Omar, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing this morning?
Yeah, man, I'm doing a lot better, Omar. Thank
That's
you.
Good. That's good. You sound a lot better.
Yeah. I think it was the shots I did Friday night really got me going again. You know, I probably need a little something there. Hey,
alcohol, they say it cleans up all the germs. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know if I've heard that one, but I gave in. I caved into pressure out there a little bit. Hey, so I got to ask you, what impressed you the most seeing the coaches, coaching staff, GM, what they put together from what you saw from all the young guys over the weekend?
There's a lot of them. there's a lot of them. There will be 24 rookies at training camp. I would say, if I had to guess, I'd probably say 15 of them make the 53-man roster. Maybe the rest of them are on the practice squad if they deserve it. We also got to factor in for injuries. So they are a lot smaller than I thought they would be, just when we talked about how this whole class and draft is supposedly big. The defensive ends are kind of small for their position. The linebackers are kind of small for their position. The safeties are kind of small for their position. So from a defensive side, I'm very curious to see how that plays out. But offensively, Caden Proctor, mammoth of a human being. He can move a little bit. He reminds me a lot physically of John Jerry, but just with a little bit more athleticism to him. I'm curious to see where he does actually end up playing. I know we plan to start him at guard, which the Joe Rose Show got the first exclusive on. If he pans out there at guard, that'll be very interesting to see. And we all know injuries factor into the offensive line. I think he's the first guy to move.
Omar, did you really say John Jerry, though?
Play-wise.
People can listen and go, really, Omar? That you know, and that listen, allowed.
Go ahead. The one thing about John Jerry was you weren't
bad seat, but go ahead.
You weren't going to bully him to the quarterback.
No.
You were not going to pressure the quarterback. John Jerry was not moving anywhere. Now, the problem is he couldn't move you. And couldn't get, you know, down here downfield on the running plays. I like having larger offensive linemen. The question is, are they athletic enough to be running pulls and second level blocks? And we'll see that. Caden Proctor, I mean, they gave him the football at Alabama. Like that's you know, obviously there's some athleticism there if they're actually throwing him the football. So I'm not saying he's not athletic like John Jerry wasn't. What I am saying is he's got the size, the girth, the mass of John Jerry.
Skill position guys that stood out. Anybody you go, okay, all right, that's a good start.
Definitely for me, I'm of the opinion that Kevin Coleman Jr. is probably going to be the rookie that has the most opportunity to elevate himself into the starting lineup. He's a polished slot receiver. I would tell you that's definitely something that this team can upgrade on. Caleb Douglas moves quite unique for a guy his size. 6'4". He's clearly got speed. He's got some movement skills. I think look at him as more of a flanker than I do a split end. And we got a chance to see Chris Bell. He warmed up and stretched with his teammates, but then didn't work out. I was a little surprised that he's you know,
out
they
had all.
Yeah, a little bit surprised he was out there at all.
And, he's not doing anything for a few months, right? No, I'd love to have him back in if I could. I mean, I hate to play doctor. November?
Yeah, that's pushing it. Yeah, November's good. November's good. November's right, a good time.
Like my November date.
Yeah, November's a good time. November's a good time. I think it would be wise for him to begin the season on the PUP so he's not counting against the 53-man roster. And you could you get to basically – take your time developing. I mean, I think November, he's going to be 12. He suffered his injury at the end of November. So he's going to be 11 months out from November.
So, you know, it's funny because everybody wants to know of this class of draft class, how many guys are going to start? And I go, I don't know about actually start. You're talking about playing the first play. But guys are going to play a lot on offense and defense, and there's going to be a lot of guys that will be playing – probably early too, not in the second half of the season, but early on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you're talking about guys who could potentially begin the season as starters, you're talking about Caleb Douglas. You're talking about Kevin Coleman, Will Kaczmarek. I'm not even sure there's a tight end who can actually do what he does. So it's definitely he's going to be in the starting lineup. We already know Caden Proctor is going to be in the starting lineup. That's four. Then we got Chris Johnson, who's going to be probably the starting nickel, if not boundary guy. That's five. Jacob Rodriguez, Kyle Lewis is probably going to play the big nickel role. That's another starting role. And then we got the safeties who, you know, basically Michael Taft. So potentially seven guys that could be in the starting lineup. And yeah,
I don't think you're crazy. No, that. And again, if they're not starters, they're rotating in. They're going to get a lot of snaps. I'm with you.
If we get to the point where seven guys have started eight games or more that are rookies, that would be a very productive, promising rookie class. However, I will say this, just because a guy starts doesn't mean he plays well. And the whole thing about playing rookies is there's going to be a learning curve and you're going to take your lumps from that. But you hopefully you, as Cam Cameron would say, you fail forward fast. Joe, you fail forward fast.
I didn't think Cam was going to make this show. Cam Cameron, you're right. He said a lot of crazy ass stuff. That was
that was probably the smartest, dumbest, crazy thing. I understand the concept of it, but it was just poorly executed because his players failed forward slowly.
that was no question about it. So let me ask you, speaking of that, Jacob Rodriguez, they got some good veteran linebackers.
Yeah.
And you seem to think that three guys can all play, that there's a way for all three of them to play. I don't see all three of them playing together.
Hold on. Here's the thing, Joe. Who is replacing them? Who's replacing one of them as a Sam linebacker? If you have Jacob playing inside and you got Dotson and Jordan Brooks playing kind of a weak linebacker role, both of them, and both of them can blitz. Both of them can cover. They can cover. They can cover. Come on, Jordan Brooks can cover. T. Dot has three interceptions, Joe. You're saying that. So who else is going to cover? Who else is going to play you, Sam? David Ojomu, Josh Uche, Chop Robinson. Who's playing you, Sam?
I don't know. I want to see how many three linebacker sets we're going to have. You seem to be a lot like there's going to be a lot of three set with all three of those guys going to be playing together. Maybe in some short yardage and situations, but I'm curious to see. Listen, it's going to be fun to watch and see. I think it's great. You got a second round guy coming in and going to push it a little bit here, minus the leadership. Although Jacob Rodriguez looks like he might take a leadership role here early on, like a little Zach Thomas-ish like.
Don't do that, Joe. Don't compare him to Zach, even though Zach Thomas compares him to Zach Thomas. It's just dangerous. That's a lofty expectation.
That's one of the great stories in history of franchise. Jimmy Johnson coming in. I know one guy that's going to start. I'm getting rid of the veteran, Jack Del Rio. You're out. And Zach, it's your job. Go get him. That was it.
Listen. And that's admirable if he earns it. All I'm saying is T-Dot is not going to be an easy person to beat.
No, I agree. Listen, those guys coming off great years, and I don't want to just fall a young guy in love this morning. Those two guys had really good seasons next year.
They've got chemistry. They work well together. Yeah. And T-Dot's playing on the final year of his contract. It's, you know, he's still got he's got a lot to prove. An undersized linebacker, just like some of these linebackers that are here, but he was undrafted. You know, T-Dot has earned everything he's gotten in this league, and I really don't think he's about to give up his starting spot.
No. I agree. Why this? We're doing this rookie love thing, which we're going to be doing a lot of. I'm with you. Hey, I got to ask you about a couple guys. You had the pass rushing situation. Max Llewellyn, first of all, the seventh round pick out of Iowa, and a guy I kind of match him up with, I don't know if you do, is Mason Rager.
Absolutely.
6'5", 250 edge rusher. So as you look at them both, you see a big difference? I'm just curious.
No, there's not a big difference. They've got similar body types. To me, they're probably both a little bit small still, but I would say this. Mason Rager had only reason he didn't get drafted was because he's got a horrible medical situation with the left knee, and doctors had told him that he should consider retiring from football. He continued to play. Obviously, he came up with a lot of red flags, but this is a guy who was the defensive MVP of the Shrine Bowl. I watched him train at Bomberitos, and I didn't know anything about the medical, and I was like, this is a football player. He was one of the top guys that absolutely stood out to me from an athleticism standpoint. So the question is, can they set the edge? And we won't know that until we start to see them in pads. And truthfully speaking, I don't have the highest hopes for a rookie to come in there and set the edge, because that's one of the hardest things in the league to do. Yeah. It's one of those jobs that veterans struggle to do. Chop Robinson has struggled to do. So I'm not going to sit here and expect a rookie to come in day one. You know, Jalen Phillips didn't play early in his career because he couldn't set the edge. It's just not something that you expect rookies out of the gate to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is funny, though, when you can't do it, you tell by your playing time, right? All of a sudden,
absolutely.
If it's like second, third, and long, you're like, hey, you can't play.
Chop Robinson has two starts in his NFL career, and the reason he doesn't start is because he can't set the itch. And
is Chop out there? Is he out there early, or he didn't have to be out there? This is just
No. This rookie. Is just rookies and guys with like less than 4 years of experience, for four games of experience and tryout guys. But they've got an interesting cast of young players. The quarterback situation between Cam Miller and Mark Gronkowski. What most people don't know is these guys are FCS rivals. They've won like four of the last national championships on that level, playing each other. So they've got a built-in rivalry right there, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Hey, Omar, got to ask you this one too. Did I hear they did a little conditioning? They do.
Oh yeah, at the end of practice.
By the way, there was definitely a message that the new head coach wanted to send about like things we're going to be doing, right? Did you read into it that way or no? How'd you read into everything with him?
Absolutely. He came over to us at the beginning and he was like, basically, we're going to be teaching them how to stretch and how to do drills. And that's what the reality of rookie camp is. And afterwards, they did conditioning and then they went to go lift weights. And then they get taught how to use their tablets. And then they get taught how the installations. And then they got to take the installations to the field. And then they get taught about housing. And then they get taught about, you know, finances. Yeah. And then they probably get the crash course about how to survive in South Florida, Joe. You know,
Be on time.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's the one thing this head coach has hammered in, that like people will be on time. And in fact, we've been late in the media contingent because they've been early. So we got to get some things cleaned up over there.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good way to start. I know there's still a lot more work, and the guys will all be together here pretty soon as well. The veterans, the ones that are still.
Yeah.
I got to ask
you. Actually, I think they begin working this week. So the rookies and the veterans begin intertwining this week. And then the next week is when they start to take it to the football field with helmets and things of that nature.
I got to ask this. Some people get mad when I do this. I got to ask you about a couple of veteran guys that are looking to get new contracts. How's everybody holding up? They're all being professional about it. I'm being dead serious, but you know,
I mean, nobody can really get deals until we get that Bradley Chubb money. So,
they know that. They're all aware of that.
Absolutely.
They've been told by their agents have been told and they've been told. And then the question is it enough to keep everybody happy, especially after your running back?
Absolutely. Especially the latest deal, the New York Jets running back, it sets the market at like $14 million a season. So that's going to be interesting to see because every time a new
back guy's a lot better than he is, that's a problem, and younger.
Yeah, exactly. And healthy, because that guy's coming off a knee injury 2 years ago. So Devon Achane is a better model of a vehicle. So it'll be interesting.
And he has a gear they don't have up in New York. I know they're the Jets, but they don't. That's a different gear what our guy has. Anyway, hey, Omar, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Hope you had a good Mother's Day. You spent a little time with your mom yesterday.
Yes, I did.
I knew you did. That's good.
Yeah. Got to take care of the ex-mothers. I mean, the exes, too. You know, you can't just ignore them.
They still birth your children. I know. I am so proud of you. You've come so far. You really have, man. I'm so proud of you, man. You are.
It's maturation, Joe. It's maturation. I mean, they push the child out there. You know, you got to give some respect to that.
You know. Oh, boy. Omar, you and I could have some good laughs together about some of that stuff. All right, bud. Thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on. Omar Kelly with us this morning. Talk a little bit about the Dolphin. Just getting started, man. Just getting started. I do want.
Or we are joined by our friend Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Perk, good morning. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, fellas, what's up? I'm living good, man. I'm ready to take on the week, baby. A day late, I guess, because it's Tuesday, but I'm still ready to take on the week.
Where were you Monday, Perk?
I was at the beach, to tell you the truth. But I'm good now. I was.
Hey,
but
Perk,
I'm good now.
Don't tell them the secrets about our workload during the off-season period.
I know. We're still working our asses off, right, Omar?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the deal. I withdraw that last remark.
Oh, we know you guys are still enjoying the friendlier NFL schedule. We know that you guys benefit from that.
Hey, man, Thursday, I got to work hard today, tomorrow, and Thursday, Perk. Yeah, you come on. A few
press conferences I know. You deserve a raise, though. You deserve a raise.
Perk, we got the schedule coming out. I have said for years, I think strength of schedule is hogwash, bullcrap, baloney. The Dolphins seemingly have the second hardest schedule. Opponents winning percentage is 5-4-2, which is just behind Chicago Bears 5-5-0. How much stock do you put into the strength of schedule, Perk?
Zero. I'm with you. So, you know, I have a couple of things that are very unconventional NFL. It's not all about quarterback, and you don't know how good your team is probably until early November, mid-November. The NFL, let's face it, it's really like a seven or eight game season, right? What matters is what you do at the end of the year. And as they expand the schedule from 14 to 16 to 17 to 18, we're going to see that these games in September have less meaning. They have less significance. They're almost going to be like a preseason. And so when you look at the schedule and teams are kind of trying to figure out who they are in September and October, yeah, the strength of schedule that you have, that you see in August is going to be totally different than the reality in October or November. So I understand that the schedule release day is great. It's exciting. I look forward to it. But the strength of schedule that we see right now, by the time we get to November, it's probably not going to be accurate.
Now, Perk, you know how I roll with the schedule and my travel desires. I would like to have Buffalo
early. The road trip to Buffalo in September, maybe October. Let's not put it all the way down there in November and December. I would like that West Coast trip with Vegas lumped in with the San Fran. Or if you want to take us to Mexico, I'm down with that too. What would be some of your desired schedule preferences if you could go get some suggestions in?
I would definitely like to do one snow game. I love seeing the snow. So whether it's Buffalo, New England, New York.
I hate you, Perk. I hate you.
No, no,
so you Perk, see Perk, you're the one beat writer who's in a full-blown coward and actually enjoys the snow. I love that.
Yeah,
I think those games are so much fun to watch, but I know a lot of our guys are like, you can't play in this weather. We got to play indoors.
Man, I was Hollywood. So cold in Green Bay.
It's a soft media contingent, Hollywood.
So cold. By the way, Perk, let me ask you a question. Right, Perk, when you guys watch these games, they throw you out in the stands with the fans, or are you guys sitting in a nice climate-controlled press conference?
Walking from my car to the press box, I was cold.
Yeah, come on now.
No, exactly.
Omar Asik is out there with the fans on the bleachers.
Right. We got hot chocolate and everything in the press box. We're not.
Don't be telling them our business, Perk. Buffalo, and I like the Buffalo wings, too, at halftime, by the way.
Exactly. You get that clam chowder up in New England. Come on, But you don't want
that. Sounds lovely.
September. You want that in December. But the Saturday when we get to walk around in some snow and be cold, and we're coming back home to 76 and sunny. I want a change of weather. I want to see some cold. I'm not out there playing. I'm not getting paid $5 million. Hey. You know, they can be out in the snow. I don't have to be for all that time. So I want to see some snow. That's pretty much the only thing. Whenever we go to Vegas. Whenever we go to Mexico City, that's fine. Those will probably be fairly warm. I want to see some snow. That's my requirement every year.
We could go see snow in Denver, Perk. We could go skiing and everything like that. But don't do me in Buffalo, man. Don't do. And you know what, Green Bay? Green Bay was horrible for me. But it's one, it was Thanksgiving Day. I had some Popeyes in the room that I had delivered. I felt sad for the people at Popeyes who had to work there on Thanksgiving.
Right.
And for the delivery man who had to deliver my box of chicken to the room. But I learned in Green Bay that when you're walking into the wind, you have to walk backwards.
Yeah, you know what? So and the people who went to the University of Wyoming, I learned this covering recruiting. They have what's called the Laramie Lean because it's in Laramie, Wyoming. And they say you have to lean into the wind. So when you're walking, they say you have to do the Laramie Lean and combat that wind. So, yeah, that wind comes, man. That when I covered the NBA, we would stay at a downtown hotel and walk to the arena. But there was this wall at the arena, and that hawk was just waiting. As soon as you turned that corner, here came that wind, and it would almost knock you down. So, yeah, that the wintertime wind, you got to be ready for that.
So we're getting offensive coaches, Perk, today, defensive coaches tomorrow. Going to be able to ask these specific questions about specific players. Who are you worried? Who are you concerned about, Perk? What player are you worried about the vision for them heading into the 2026 season?
Well, you guys know my thing because I've written it. I'm not really going to obsess about the rookies right now. Caden Proctor, I thought, looked slim out there for the underwear Olympics day one that we saw him on Friday. He looked agile going through drills, but there's no pads. There's no defense out there. So we don't know. I go to some of the recent draftees, right? I go to Chop Robinson, Jonas Abaniya, Kenneth Grant. Those are the three that what is the vision for them? You drafted them. Now you've got to develop them. You've got to coach these guys up. So what is the vision for them? We know that Jonah is going to be moving to the right side at guard where he played in college. What are you doing with Chop? What are you going to do with KG? And you know what I said about a lot of these rookies from last year, and especially the D tackles, I just want to see one thing that you do really well. Do you take on double teams? Do you stop the run? Do you rush the passer? I didn't see that one tangible quality from KG. I think if you have that one thing that you see, now you can build on the rest and you can take advantage of that one thing that's that's probably the player's strength, and you can build on that and you can develop the rest of his game. So really, that's what I want to know from these coaches is what do you see in those three, KG, Jonah, and Sha? Because if those three develop, the rebuild takes off at a fast pace. If they don't develop, now you've kind of wasted some high round draft picks on players who are going to be average at best. I don't think any of them are gonna be busts, but average at best. And you can't have three guys drafted that high all be average. One of them has to be a standout.
Perk, as the roster stands now, what are the biggest holes?
Cornerback, defensive end. And you know, I can say that pretty rapidly and confidently because those are the impact positions. You're in trouble at safety also, but cornerback and defensive end are primary positions. I think that's the priority. And you know, we get back into Chop Robinson a little bit there, right? Like what are you going to get out of Chop? What are you going to do with this guy? That is a major, major need on the team. And those are two positions where if you can't control those two positions and control the game there or make an impact on the game there, it's going to be a very, very long defensive season for you.
Chris Perkins here with us on QAM. All right, Perk, you referred to Tyreek Hill as a Hall of Fame knucklehead, which I like in your column here. I guess he's hopefully wrapping his latest saga with the lady, the Instagram lady.
OnlyFans,
sorry. Perk, that story, by the way, is as bizarre. And the Dolphins have had their fair share.
Right.
But that one is as bizarre a story as we have perhaps ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up there. I mean, you know, cause I remember writing it and it was the circumstances were something like, you know, Tyreek was putting on this football camp and the woman had entered her son and Tyreek like noticed her online. And so they had some little flirtation. She ends up going to his place a couple of days before the camp. Mm-hmm. They're doing football drills in his backyard. And like, she takes them down or something like that, which is, you know, the whole thing. Like, what are you doing? Football drills in Tyreek's backyard. And I think like Tyreek's mother was looking on and she laughed and Tyreek got embarrassed. And so he takes her down and allegedly breaks her leg. And it's the whole thing is, it's so Tyreek. And so, you know,
don't forget the have sex part after the whole leg break. Well,
you know, people might be taking their kids to school, Omar. I'm trying to keep
thanks,
it clean.
Omar.
You know,
thank you, Park, for trying to keep it clean.
Yeah,
thank you. It is a family show. Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah, but, you know, I part of my column last week was, you know, you can tell that this is a different regime because this is what happened on Friday. Tyreek is in court with this bizarre case. And Jeff Hafley is on the field turning over a new leaf, a new era. As reporters, we're not looking at Twitter anymore to see what Tyreek said. You know, what was it? I'm gone, coach, or I'm whatever it was, whatever that tweet was. And we're not looking to, you know, at court to see what happened with this case. Like the Tyreek lunacy is over. It's now more stable. It's more real. It's more hand in the dirt football. So, you know, I like what's going on there, but yeah, the Tyreek lunacy is over. It's a new era, but that was as bizarre as it gets. You're right. That's a very bizarre story.
You would trade that Tyreek lunacy for 7 wins right now, Perk. You certainly would. Don't play like you wouldn't.
Well, look, I'm a Tyreek fan now. I'm a Tyreek fan. He's a Hall of Fame player, but again, you know, you have to deal with that lunacy. It's easier to swallow if you're winning playoff games. If you're not winning playoff games, it's like, yeah. Well,
and that
I don't
leads
know.
To the natural follow up. Like, was the Tyreek Hill era? Was it worth it? Like, was it worth what they gave up for him to ultimately? We had was some really good times, but we didn't win anything.
I think it was. Well, I think it was for Tyreek because he's a Hall of Famer. Tyreek wasn't responsible for the defense or the play calling or players showing up late or. All of that kind of stuff. Tyreek did Tyreek, and he did it very well, right? I mean, the dude was a mover and a shaker. He was a difference maker. He was the best player on the Dolphins of that era, and that's with all due respect to Jalen Ramsey and Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead and Tua. Tyreek was the best player of that 4-year stretch. So, yes, it was worth it to acquire him, But as you guys know, I call that entire era a failure.
Yes. By the way, very interesting, this whole Hall of Fame thing with Tyreek Hill. He might have to clean up some of the stuff off the field before we go down that road with Tyreek. But I guess that's a conversation for another day. Perk, I want to ask you the same thing I asked Omar this morning. And if you could describe Coach Hafley to our listeners here. Omar gave his take, and we're trying to compare him to Dolphins have had every type of coach, right? Old, young, nice, not nice. They've had them all. How would you describe, I know you guys have spent a brief amount of time with him so far, but you've spent more time than most with Coach Hafley. How would you describe him?
Intense, serious, focused, kind of, you know, he walks the walk at this point. And so I think those are all very important qualities. I like what they have in Hafley. I like what they've had in the last two defensive coaches, meaning Brian Flores and Jeff Hafley. I think the defensive coaches are better grounded. They're not looking at this fantasy, I can turn Ryan Tannehill into this, or I can turn Tua into this. I think both Flo and Hafley are just more hard hat, lunch pail guys. Let's play some good, solid football. Let's do what we do very well. We're not looking for gimmicks. We're not looking for miracles. We're not looking for the quarterback to be the next Dan Marino. We're going to line up and knock your butt off the line of scrimmage, and you can't stop us. That's what I think they have in Hafley. And I look forward to what this product looks like in September and December, because I think that this team, just as we saw it flow, I think this team is going to get better as the season goes on. I'm not saying they're going to win 8 or 9 games, but I think they're going to improve as the season goes on.
The Dolphins, finish this sentence for me, Perk. The Dolphins have a pleasantly surprising season if this happens.
Oh, boy.
The other teams don't get off the bus.
No. You know what? So here's one of my big things, and I'm planning on writing this for tomorrow. Don't obsess on the season record. Obsess that they got the right type of player. Because, look, and don't root for the Dolphins to lose. That is such Loserville stuff. If they go 4-13, yeah, you could have the number one pick, but that probably means Malik Willis didn't come along as you wanted. It probably means the defense didn't come along as you wanted. If you win 7 or 8 games and you get, say, the number 17 pick, that's great, right? Because a lot of stuff happened positive, right? That means probably Jonah and Shaw and KG had a good year. Malik probably had a good year. Hafley was probably successful. HM stayed healthy. Winning is good. So I want to put that out there for the people who want the Dolphins to lose. So, you know, I would say they would have a good season if they win 6 or 7 games. But I would say, more importantly, if they find out they have the right mentality, the right attitude, the right mindset, that you have good players, but you have the type of player that you want. I think that is ultimately the judge of whether this is going to be a successful season or not. Did you get the right type of player?
Well, Perk, we appreciate your time as always this morning. Make sure to check out Perk's work in the Sun Sentinel. Perk, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. I'll be around.
All right. Thank you to Chris Perkins there. A lot of stuff going on with the Dolphins. You guys get back to work today with some press conferences out there. So Omar, look forward to seeing your stuff as well. So make sure you are subscribing to our local papers out there. That is very important. The Miami Herald, Sun Sentinel, please make sure you are a subscriber. We are going to take a pause here. We got a little surprise coming up on the show here. We're going to get to in our next segment, perhaps, here. Alex Dono is with us as well. We'll take a pause. We might have a little surprise, Omar, coming up next here on QAM. All right, welcome back in here on WQAM on this Wednesday morning. Hollywood, Omar Kelly, Dono, Dan Day along here with you, and we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com, where we are joined by our friend who was the publisher of the Dolphins on SI.com. Alan Poupart is with us. Alan, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Oh, you said we're friends. I love that. Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I know he's lying to the people.
No. Allen is. Oh. I consider Allen a friend. Joe, I think considers him more of a rival because of the tennis deal. Although, doesn't he have to beat you for it to be a rivalry, Allen? Like, isn't that
he has defeated me, Hollywood.
Really? Oh, this is big news. He's moving up in the rankings. You know, he got offered a spot on a pro team or a semi-pro team or something or other recently. He didn't want to make the commitment, though.
Yeah, I'm going to call BS on that, but sure. We'll go with that.
I think they just wanted him for his celebrity status, to be quite honest. But, Alan, let's jump into what's going on in Miami Gardens and what were your takeaways from yesterday's media availabilities? And I know you heard from Dolphins OC Bobby Slowick. What were some of your takeaways from what you heard?
You're pretty much the same thing you hear every year at this time. Everybody's looking good. Everybody's making progress. One thing that stood out to me came from Zach Yenser, the new offensive line coach, where he talked about Jonas Avalainaya and how excited he was to be making the move from left guard to right guard in his second season, along with the fact that he said that he liked a lot of the things that he saw from Savainaya in run blocking, and there are some issues in pass protection, as we kind of all saw. But it brought back to me, I like the fact that maybe this will make a difference and unlock Savainaya's potential, and maybe he'll take a big step forward in 2026. And if that happens, then the Dolphins certainly have the potential to have a solid offensive line. But it can't help that it brings back to me this decision that the team made last year when they had two guys whose most previous experience at guard, James Daniels, their veteran, their prize offseason acquisition last offseason in free agency, and their rookie second round pick, who both were more familiar with the right guard in recent times, and they decided, well, we'll make the rookie switch over to the left side, and the guy who's been in the NFL for 7 years, we'll make him more comfortable and keep him on the right side, which to me kind of was weird at the time, and as it played out, became even weirder.
Well, Alan, I want to ask you about this Malik Willis thing, and what are your expectations for him? We heard guys talking about him yesterday, and you know, I don't think a lot of people know what to expect, to be quite honest, when he eventually takes the field here for the Dolphins. But what are your expectations? What do you think their expectations are for him?
I think their expectations are very, very high. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that commitment. And part of it is the fact they spent 2 years with him. And this is a pet peeve of mine, is when I see coaches and hear coaches overemphasizing, you know, what a great person he is and all that. I mean, that's good. You want good people. I don't get me wrong. But when you keep harping on that, it's like, okay, well, I mean, I'm a good person too. You don't see me playing quarterback in the NFL. You know, the ability and the talent's got to be there as well. My expectations are that he's probably not going to be as good as we saw in that start against Baltimore last December in that Saturday night game, and certainly going to be a whole lot better than he was in Tennessee, you know? And the problem with him is there's no significant sample size. So there's a major unknown. I saw enough athletic ability that I think he could be good, but exactly how good, I mean, who knows? I think he'll be good. Great. Let's see before we call that out.
Alan, we're going to get a chance to see this Dolphins offense next week when they actually pull the curtain back on OTAs and take to the field with some helmets in their pajamas, as I call them. Devon Achane is one of those players who's not expected to participate in the offseason program until he gets his money. Yesterday we talked to Ladell Betts, who talked about how this offense, the terminology and language is going to be the same. There's going to be some carryover, so it's not going to impact Achane that much. But in Achane's absence, who does this open the door up for in terms of players who are going to get a chance to establish themselves more to be focal points of this offense?
Would I be wrong if I said nobody? Because it's OTAs and it's basically all about installation. The second Achane comes back, I think everything looks the same. I guess the obvious answers would be Ollie Gordon too and Jalen Wright. And I think it's a big year for both of them because you saw flashes last year, and even Wright as a rookie, little, you know, hints here or there that, ooh, this guy could be really good, but it wasn't consistent enough. And I remember this time last year, we were all like, holy smokes, does Jalen Wright look cooked? And he's going to be awesome because he's already was big and he's still fast and all that. And it didn't really materialize. So I think it's going to be a whole lot of HN. And that situation is going to get a little bit bothersome, worrisome. I mean, at some point, I don't know exactly when, but at some point, because he's still not getting a contract extension, then the Dolphins, if they're waiting on Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson to get their deals in Atlanta and Detroit, that's only going to make it more expensive for Devon Achane, because you know his agent's going to be like, look at those deals, want that, or close to it. So they got a little tricky situation there.
Is that how you do your negotiations, Alan? Look at those deals, want that.
Pretty much, yeah. See that over there? That's what I want.
Oh, man. Alan, what's your expectation for Caden Proctor in year one? And how did you feel about that pick, which was obviously very polarizing down here in South Florida?
It was very polarizing. I was on record, so I got to be consistent. To me, for the first pick of the Jeff Hafley, John Eric Sullivan regime, I was looking for somebody with higher floor, even if the ceiling might have been a little bit lower. And to me, Caden Proctor is a pick with a really, really, really high ceiling, but maybe a little bit of a lower floor with the weight fluctuation issues he had at Alabama, which kind of make my neck twitch a little bit. Or for another way to put it, make me a little bit queasy. My expectations for his first year, I guess the point of comparison for me might be Laramie Tunsil coming out of Mississippi in 2016 as a left tackle, played left guard as a rookie, where he was good. You saw flashes as a rookie, but I don't know if anybody would have been like, wow, look at what we got. So, that would be my expectation. And my biggest hope, obviously, is that we never talk about his weight ever again.
Alan Poupard here with us.
Yeah.
He is the host of the All Dolphins podcast, SI.com as well. Alan, I just want to follow that up by I'm sure you saw the video on Twitter. They put up of Reuben Bain and, you know, how he's the greatest, you know, player of in the draft. And the Dolphins screwed up because he's running these drills against no one. And, you know, listen, I love Reuben Bain. I think everyone down here does. It is what it is at this point, but man, when they put out these hype videos and start talking these guys up, it's like, well, like, what are we doing here? We're in rookie minicamp, and
hold
we're
on Hollywood. The Reuben Bain hype videos look pretty odd. Like the Caden Proctor hype video is like eating Krispy Kreme. Like, there's a difference here in these hype videos.
Would you stop?
Don't forget the best Reuben Bain hype video is him snatching the hat, not looking in the mirror, and just walking out to Goodell like, I'm going to destroy this league.
Did you guys see the Fernando Mendoza video yesterday where he threw a beautiful spiral? That was slow mode to show all of it. Its elegance and its grace and its beauty. Man, can he spin it? Those never fail. Every year, this time of year, it's like, or look at Caleb Douglas and how quick he makes his cuts on air on the grass with nobody around him. Like, yikes. Whoa, can we simmer down now?
Caleb Douglas moves like a gazelle, brother.
Remember the Dolphins put out a Tua slow-mo spiral video and he underthrew the dude?
No comment. The thing with Reuben Bain,
yeah, that was quite a controversial video.
It was a controversial video.
Reuben Bain fell into the same category for me as Caden Proctor, in that there was a bit of a concern, because I don't care how good he was in college, and I love Reuben Bain Jr. too. Everything about him, he's a dog. He makes them. Squeezes out every single ounce of juice from his talent because of how hard he plays, but he's still going against history because of the arm length. And I know it's a ridiculous thing. He can play. He can, if he can play, he can play. I don't care. To me, that the historical precedent is there. And, you know, with Bill Parcells' quote, if you draft the team with exceptions, all you're going to have is not to draft, make an exception. You're going to have a team full of exceptions. And this, the same logic applies here. And it was like, I said this and I got some pushback on social media. If it wasn't for the fact that he played at UM, there wouldn't be this much furor over the Dolphins not taking him, besides the fact that he's a really good prospect. The fact he played at UM is just put it over the top. And it's like, holy moly, if he winds up, if he tears it up in the NFL as a rookie in 2026, we'll never hear the end of it.
You never will, actually. You never will.
That's just from you.
That's true. Let's get to the defensive side of the team. The defensive coaches are talking today. I would make the argument, even though the offense is featuring a new quarterback there and new weaponry, the defense probably has a little bit more question marks and concerns, considering you're building an entirely new cornerback unit, you're building an entirely new safety unit, and you don't really have any proven edge rushers. What do you think is going to be the main issue or topic of discussion today with these defensive coaches?
How are you going to stop anybody? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too direct? I mean, where do you find the answers? Where are the answers? And you said a little bit more of a concern than the offense. I'd say a lot more of a concern than the offense. I look at this defense as like, okay, who's your edge defender? Who's your cornerback opposite other than Chris Johnson? Who are your starting safeties? And it's like, they're going to be talking up without question. You know it's coming. They're going to be talking up Lonnie Johnson Jr., who's going to revive his career and, you know, show why he was a second round pick of the Houston Texans way back when. They're going to be talking up Dante Trader Jr. and how he's ready to take a big step after learning on the job as a rookie fifth round pick last year. They're going to be talking up Jason Marshall Jr. and what he learned last year. They're going to be talking up how Chop Robinson's going to be taking a big step in his third season. But, I mean, there are question marks up the wazoo on defense.
Alan, I want to just ask you something because we're getting a lot of comments on this right now. And as far as Proctor's weight, you don't imagine this will be an issue, right? Like, I have to think, I see you a roll in your eyes, Omar and Dono. I have to think that the Dolphins did a fair enough amount of due diligence on this guy. And, like, it would be a catastrophic miss if this guy came into camp and was just too overweight and, it just never materializes for him. Like, that would be a massive, massive misstep in their first pick as the new regime here. There's no way this guy, right, it comes into camp overweight or weight becomes a problem early on for him. I don't see that happening.
Man, if he does, to quote Bill Murray in the great movie Stripes, and then depression set in. That would be bad. Holy moly, would that be bad. And the fact that, and again, my hesitation with him is, he had, 400 pounds of the weight, the word, as a freshman in Alabama, but then he came back for his 2025 season, and he was still, 380 per the reports. Yeah. And it's like, why, you didn't learn that, and you didn't realize this is your final audition before you head into the NFL draft. Not that it wound up hurting him that much, but still, to me, it shows, dude, seriously? And if that hasn't clicked in by now and he shows up to training camp in July after being off for a month at a bad weight, then yeah, that would be, I don't know if panic button time is overstating it, but it would be very depressing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we don't see him at any of the local buffets or anything like that. At least the Dolphins are in Miami Gardens now. They're not in Davie anymore, right across from that that sushi buffet that we all love.
That was a good buffet.
Which, by the way, I live near, and it's still going strong.
There you go.
Nice.
Yes. For me, from a weight standpoint, and this is the biggest concern, he is a big boy. If he spends a day under 340 pounds his entire life, I'd be shocked. Let's just hope he stays in the 350s and not in the 360s.
Right.
Absolutely. And, fair enough. Yeah. Because you said, like you said, he's always going to be big, but there are different types of big, if that makes any sense.
Alan, before we let you run here, if you can just let people know where they can find you. I know you're on SI.com, the All Dolphins podcast. What do you have coming up, and where do you want to send people to find your work here?
Yeah, it's actually Miami Dolphins on SI.com. A whole lot of schedule stuff popping up ahead of the release, the official release Thursday night at 8 p.m. And I will go on record as saying I love the schedule release week. I even loved when they leak out games here or there as opposed to just waiting until Thursday night. And then the latest news is the reported Dolphins appearance in Mexico City against the 49ers apparently was a bad report. It's now apparently going to be the Minnesota Vikings going to play the 49ers, which means we're back to what I would suspect will be one primetime game for the Dolphins with the possibility of a flex. But I'm not answering your question. Miami Dolphins on SI.com, the All Dolphins podcast as well.
So you tell me I'm not going to Mexico?
No, you're not going to Mexico, Omar. And it's probably for the best here because we'll just leave you over there. But Alan, how many times over under and how many teams mentioned Mike Vrabel in their schedule release videos on Twitter?
You know the Chargers are going to do it. Although actually you figured they would, but apparently they've alerted the NFL office that they're going to be nice about it. I think you'd be surprised. I think it's going to be probably nobody. I think they're going to all, you know, steer.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I think so. And if anybody does, it's going to be the Chargers. And like I said, apparently there's a note somebody saw somewhere there that they're going to steer clear of it.
Do you think NFL sent out a memo, no Mike Vrabel shots?
Saw something where apparently they do not butt into those things. The Colts ran into an issue last year, but it was some sort of trademark issue with Microsoft because they were using Minecraft stuff without permission. But supposedly, no, the NFL does not get involved. Could there be some pop-outs after the fact? Sure. I think it's really touchy. And the fact that it involves personal lives and other people who don't have anything to do with Mike Vrabel, or not Mike Vrabel, or Diana Rossini, you know, specifically, the collateral damage in this whole situation, I think that's going to keep it from being mocked.
Yeah, well, I think the tabloids have it covered because I think they have photographers hiding out in the bushes at these people's homes because they seem to come out with new photos every single day, man, as this story gets creepier and creepier. But
why would you not shadow Diana following her everywhere she goes if you're a tabloid writer, if you're a tabloid photographer?
We gonna sign Omar up for the paparazzi. We'll get him out of the journalism business. We'll sign him up for the paparazzi. Alan, thank you for the time, man. It's great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. All right.
Sounds good. See you in a bit, Omar.
All right. See you.
All right, Alan Poupart, kind enough to join us here this morning. That story, by the way, new pictures come out every single day. Now they got photos of like her and the husband, and they were kissing on Mother's Day, and it's like, I just feel so dirty, like continuing to look at these things. Like, it's just such a crummy story.
It's a 6-year affair, man.
That's why I don't buy it. That's why I don't.
The affair is so long. You kind of feel like she's cheating on Mike Vrabel with her husband. Like when I saw when I saw that Mother's Day picture, like I felt bad for Vrabel. I'm like,
when you name your child dude? Michael. Nothing's off the table here.
I think, and this is our theory. I was talking about this with my buddies yesterday that this was like an allowed thing, like an open, relationship type of thing, because nobody is that crafty to me to do that for
cheaters. Are that crafty, sir?
No way, man. No way.
Absolutely.
Especially the way they were doing it, like out in public at bars and hotels and.
What do you think cheaters do? Do you think they just meet up in hotels?
I think you meet in a remote cave somewhere.
at the Miami Airport Hotel? Yeah.
I mean, I think I wouldn't be able to pull it off.
Also, like, I think in both of their Vrabel and her line of work, it's a little, like, you have cover stories because you're traveling all the time.
Absolutely.
So it's like, your spouse doesn't, you know, like they're used to you not being around. And I think that facilitates the situation.
Yeah. Jay just asked what I'm talking about. Honestly, I don't even know anymore.
Nobody knows.
I'm just giving a very weird theory on a very weird story. All right. We got to take a pause here. We got a lot more to get to as we continue on. I do want to let our people know, Dan, we gave away those tickets. We did pick a texter at random here that we gave the tickets to. We had a handful of people text in. They wanted to take their families out to the Marlins game. So we gave those away at random. We'll give away more tomorrow and Friday as well. So hopefully we can get a few more families out to the Marlins game and you know, get the kids out there. It's always a fun time to take your kids out there, and they do such a great job for the kids. Make sure, by the way, if you do take your kids out to the Marlins games, you stop by. There's a booth that is right behind home plate, and you can sign your kids up for the Kids Club, the Marlins Kids Club, and they get a lanyard with a little credential thing on it, and they give you a prize every time you go to a Marlins game. Take the kids out there. You get a prize for the first time as well, just for stopping over there. So the kids love that thing. Make sure to take them over there when you do make it out to a Marlins game. We're going to take a pause. We got a lot more to come here on QAM. Welcome back in here on WQAM. Hope everyone is having a great start to their Wednesday morning. Boy, that was an interesting interview with Alan Bouffard. Omar rolled his eyes at me. Omar Kelly's with us. Alex Dono with us. There is no way Proctor comes into camp overweight, right? Like, this would be, as far as, like, screw-ups in the Dolphins, you know, organization, this would be a disaster. I think this is going to be fine. I think this will work out just fine, to be honest. But, you know, and I'm just trying to put a positive spin on it for once, because I think the Dolphins' new guys deserve that. You know, deserve the benefit of the doubt, that, you know, at least have a shot before we trash them. But Omar, no way this guy shows up to camp overweight, right?
I don't think so, at least not in his first year. But, right.
That's my thought, Omar. Like, he'll be on his best behavior first year, and then if a problem sets in, it'll be later.
Here's the thing about it, though. He's a large human being, and that was part of the reason why they drafted him and the appeal to him. It's part of the Bill Parcells planet Earth theory, where there are only so many, a finite amount of individuals walking this Earth who are that big, that large, that athletic, and you want to collect them. That's a Parcellsism that Ron Wolf believed in. People don't realize Ron Wolf and Parcells had very aligning thoughts. Just one ran a 4-3 defense and one ran a 3-4 defense, but they shared. Even when Parcells was running the Dolphins, Ron Wolf was here all the time, because they were buddies. They hung out together. They talked. And John Eric Sullivan comes from the Ron Wolf tree. Green Bay is built off the Ron Wolf tree. And so a lot of the thought processes align with where Parcells was back in the day. So the only problem that – and he is a big human being. I'm not going to say he's one of the biggest. You know, people got upset when I compared him to John Jerry. John Jerry was big and fat. This guy is not fat. He's just – big and thick. Now, my issue is he's probably never a day in his life, even with Ozempic, going to be less than 350 pounds. Just never. It's just not going
to
happen.
Is that on the NFL's banned substance list? Are you allowed to use that?
I don't know. Half the world's using Ozempic, so I would think.
I don't know much about Ozempic. I mean, I know of it. But I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
Something about, like, I don't, is it safe? Like, I mean, are you, I maybe
someone else until 10 to 15 years from now?
Well, doesn't it make you brittle, though? Like, if you're an offensive lineman, you probably shouldn't be taking Ozempic, because it makes you a little brittle. I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't know what it does, to be quite honest. I know that all those, like, weight loss quick things. Like, remember they used to have those pills, those hydroxy cut pills?
Oh, yeah. Those were banned in the NFL. I remember.
What did they were essentially like just caffeine pills, right?
It was like speed.
Yeah, speed, basically. Yes. And those were banned. I believe we was it Jason Ferguson who missed like four games because he was taking something to make weight in camp. Here's the thing about Caden Proctor. He's in the best shape of his life right now, and that's in the 350s. Okay, he weighed in at the combine at 352, and that's literally starving yourself for a couple of days because that's going to be your official NFL weight. If you think that he's going to ever spend a day here under 340 pounds, you're mistaking yourself. But to me, the biggest issue for me is I don't like drafting guys who are going to struggle with their weight their entire career, because I've seen you living your life on a diet is extremely hard. And then we don't know, like for example.
Wait a second. Everybody has to live their life on a diet. Like,
no, they don't. Dan doesn't live his life on a diet.
I mean, if I eat the way that I want to eat, Omar, on a daily basis, I probably wouldn't see 50. You know,
Dan Day, are you living your life on a diet?
Absolutely. That's how I stay this fit.
Dan Day does eat well. Actually, he's a clean lifestyle.
I exercise 5 days a week. I eat vegan. I try to stay healthy. Yeah, I do have a method to my madness.
Here's my thing.
There are some people that are naturally skinny. That's just how it works. But Omar, I think for you know the rest of the people on the screen here this morning, yeah. If we were to just eat how like I would love nothing more today than to go to that buffet we had mentioned. Mm-hmm. I mean, what sounds a great like place for lunch. I would love to eat sushi till I explode for $10. That'd be a great day for me. But we just can't.
It is not $10, number one. Lunch special is like
whatever it is. All right. Yeah. Inflation is
special, I think, is like $17.
Inflation is hitting you hard. And yes, it is probably up by a couple of bucks. But yeah, I'd love to do that. There's no question. But I mean, I can't.
These are all choices, sir. All I'm saying is
choices. It's also, it's kind of a life or death situation here, according to my doctor, at least last time I went for a checkup.
Well, Donald should be the one speaking because he's the expert. He's gone. He's been up and he's gone down. So Donald, can you live
your life? Lose a lot of weight.
I did. I gained a good bit of it back, but not all of it back. But no, man, you have to constantly make smart and wise choices, and you have to kind of prioritize other things over food. And so in the case of Caden Proctor, I think you need to consistently prioritize the goal of what it takes to be your best self on the football field and understand that you have to enjoy that more than you enjoy a meal. It kind of comes down to priorities.
My problem is I'm an emotional eater, man. If I'm feeling bad and I'm feeling down, I want some pizza. I want some more.
You can do your job as a 400 pounder. Like you would be okay at your job. Like you wouldn't change your performance.
I don't know.
You might struggle walking, up and down stairs and stuff, but it wouldn't like change your performance at your job per se. But this guy's getting paid millions of dollars. It's like, it's part of the gig of being a professional athlete. And not just this guy, that's every professional athlete, I'm sure, struggles with this, right? You think everyone wants to eat, the way that these guys have to?
One, they're fed just about every single meal. So let's not shed a tear for them. They literally can go to a facility, get breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and something to take home. And it's phenomenal food, by the way, because I get to partake in some of that as well. Especially the salmon. Big fans of the salmon. But here's the thing. When you I know this because I watch Vernon Carey, and I hate to talk about Vernon's business, but like in the off season, Vernon was doing everything possible to stay under 350 pounds. And I know he's a professional, but if at some point that's gotta wear on you, man. Do you want to just be able to take your foot off the gas and just eat a slab of ribs when you feel like it? Well,
ribs are healthy though, man. Ribs are, there's no carbs in ribs. Ribs are healthy. I think it's
protein,
more of,
right?
It's more of avoiding the buffets. Omar, by the way, someone made a good point here. We do need to get you bulked up for the Crowder boxing match. So maybe you and I will meet at one of the these buffets. Yeah. We were, by the way, the answer. Yes, we were talking about Shinju, which is still going strong. By the way, I'm a Broward resident now, and so I can tell you firsthand it is still going very, very strong. That maybe we'll do that for our next station event. We'll have an eating fest at Shinju. We'll bring all of our
close the place down.
All of our morning listeners in there, and we'll see who can eat the most sushi.
Bring Caden Proctor out there.
Hosted by Caden Proctor. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick pause here. appreciate all the comments coming in. We'll get to some of those when we come back. And this Giannis Antetokounmpo sweepstake starting to heat up here. This could happen, guys, pretty soon here with the Bucks. I think looking to make this thing happen. Looks like in the coming days or weeks. So we'll see what the Heat can offer. I saw some of those trade machine offers pop up yesterday. So we'll discuss what the Heat can do to possibly facilitate and make that happen. We'll take a pause. More to come on QAM.